The Wife's Secret Identity. Chapter 1. Shirley, let's divorce. When Braden Stewart's voice came from behind, Shirley Wilson was frying steak. The hot oil splashed on her cheeks, but she didn't even feel pain. We don't love each other. Now it's 4 years, and it's time to end. The man's voice was cold, with an air of alienation. Shirley bit her lip. This day finally saw me. 4 years ago, the Wilson family went bankrupt, and her parents jumped off the building, leaving a mess for Shirley alone. Shirley's grandfather and Braden's grandfather were comrades, and her grandfather on sea saved Braden's grandfather on the battlefield. As he was dying, old Mr. Wilson was most worried about his granddaughter, so he entrusted Shirley to old Mr. Stewart. Thus, there was this marriage. However, she crossed the line and fell in love with Braden. She thought as long as she played the role of wife well, one day, he would fall in love with her. However, in the end, he wanted to divorce her. I'll give you $80 million and a house as compensation. This is the divorce agreement. Sign it. Braden handed a stack of documents to Shirley, and he was so indifferent as if they were discussing business. Shirley took the agreement and looked at the numbers. $80 million. The Stewart family was still as rich and powerful as ever. Do you really want to divorce? Shirley closed the agreement and stared at the man in front of her. This man she had loved for 4 years had an extremely handsome face, a tall and straight GHT figure, and he was always serious. Yes. There was no hesitation in Braden's indifferent tone. Shirley felt upset. But she didn't hesitate. Since he was so resolute, she should give up. She would get $80 million, and it was worth it anyway. Okay, I agree. She signed her name on the agreement. Braden was a little surprised. In his memory, this woman had always been weak and indecisive, like a little rabbit without the ability to survive. At the moment, she was quite decisive. He was a little unhappy. I will notify you of the registration time. If possible, you'd better move out tonight. Braden ignored the unhappiness in his heart and said coldly before leaving the villa. Obviously, he didn't come to discuss the divorce with Shirley, but just to inform her. That night, the servants, who usually didn't like Shirley, became even more arrogant and they knew that Shirley was forced to divorce. They threw her luggage out of the villa. You've stayed in the Stewart family for 4 years. Now you are finally kicked out. You deserve it. On a cold night, Shirley squatted on the ground to pick up her scattered clothes, extremely embarrassed. There was the sound of a car parking behind her, and a tall woman got out of the car. Miss Nelson. The servants who yelled at Shirley just now stepped forward to help the woman carry the luggage. Amelie Nelson raised her chin. Be careful. My things are very expensive. You won't be able to pay for them if they break them. Shirley's body froze, and she understood instantly. No wonder Braden wanted her to move out tonight. There was another woman who would see Om here. When she thought that she was upset about such a man just now, she wanted to slap herself. Amelie walked up to Shirley arrogantly. Are you Shirley? Why are you still here? Braden asked you to leave, but you are still here. How shameless you are. Shirley turned a deaf ear to her provocation and continued to pack her scattered luggage. Are you deaf? Can't you hear me talking to you? Sorry, I didn't hear that. Shirley raised her head with a calm expression. I only heard a dog barking. How dare you scold me? I didn't scold you. Shirley dragged the suitcase and turned her head to Amelie, who was standing in front of her. Please make way. You. Amelie stomped her feet, and her face turned pale. Wasn't Shirley a doormat? Seeing this, the servants hurried forward to flatter Amelie. Miss Nelson, calm down. You will be the hostess of this villa in the future. We have tidied up your room according to Mr. Braden's order. I will take you to have a look right now. Amelie was happy and didn't bother to talk to Shirley. She followed the servant into the villa. In the cold wind, Shirley was the only one left. Looking at this magnificent building, she had mixed feelings in her heart. It was ironic that she wasted 4 years here, but it ended up in such a mess. Goodbye, the Stewart family. Taking a deep breath, Shirley left without looking back. She rented a one-bedroom apartment in the city center. The room was not big, but finally, she settled down. Suddenly, she felt very relaxed. Without the identity of Mrs. Stewart, she could freely do some things she wanted to do. Shirley took out her mobile phone and dialed the number she had blocked for 4 years. "Shirley, it's been 4 years, and you finally called me." Ewan Parker had always been rebellious, but at this moment, he was very obedient on the other end of the phone, and his voice was very excited. "I heard that you're getting a divorce. Congratulations. You should have kicked Braden off a long time ago. During the past few years when you were in the Stewart family, there were many legends about you. If those people know that you are the person they've tried to look for, they will be shocked. Are we going to do something big?" Stop. Shirley was annoyed, and she wanted to block this man again. "I promised Grandpa that I would never join the circle again. Keep this secret for me." It was true that her past was wonderful, but she didn't want to talk about it. "I called you because I want you to help me investigate something." After Shirley talked with Ewan, she hung up the phone. At the same time, she got a text message, and it was sent by Braden. Her heartbeat instantly accelerated. 9 a.m. tomorrow. I'll see you in City Hall." His words were without any emotions. Shirley calmed down. She shouldn't have any expectations of this man. "Okay." Shirley replied to him quickly, also without any emotions. Chapter 2. Life is not drama. The next day, they agreed to meet at 9 o'clock, but Shirley arrived at 8:30. Not only did she arrive early, but she also put on makeup and put on her favorite red dress. She pulled up her hair high, revealing her long and fair neck. She looked like a goddess, elegant and cold, with a perfect temperament. However, probably because of the wind that night, she had a fever and felt uncomfortable. At 9 o'clock, a silver car drove into the open-air parking lot. Braden got out of the car with a grim face. Seeing Shirley, who had been waiting at the door for a long time, his eyes flashed a hint of surprise at first, but it was soon replaced by displeasure. "You are quite active." Braden bypassed Shirley without any expression and walked quickly towards the divorce registration counter. This guy was weird. Staring at his tall and ruthless back, Shirley thought, "You are walking in such a hurry. Aren't you also active?" The procedure was done quickly within 10 minutes. According to the new regulations, there is now a 1-month cooling off period for divorce. Within 30 days, if any one of you doesn't want to divorce, you can unilaterally cancel it with the relevant documents. After the staff finished speaking, he handed the divorce application form to the two. They had seen many couples every day. Some cried, some made trouble, and some fought, but this was the first time they had met such a calm couple. Moreover, the man was tall and handsome, and the woman was slender and beautiful. They matched so well, but why would they get divorced? Shirley took the form readily and browsed the terms on it, feeling very ironic. There is a cooling off period for divorce, but why is there no cooling off period for marriage? If there is a cooling off period for marriage, Braden's face darkened, and he sneered. If there is a cooling off period for marriage, you won't marry me. I will. Shirley smiled. I got 80 million. Ordinary people can't earn so much after working for a lifetime. Braden's face turned darker, and he tugged on his tie irritably. In the past, she always looked gentle, with no temper at all. When they were getting divorced, she became free and sharp. When the two were about to part ways, a soft voice came from behind them. "Braden, are you done?" Shirley looked back and saw Amelie. Amelie was wearing a white dress, with mournful eyes, looking weak. She didn't look arrogant as that night. Moreover, Shirley didn't pay attention to her that day, but now she found out Amelie's stomach was a little bulging. "Didn't I tell you to wait for me in the car? Why do you come out? It's cold outside. The child in your stomach is very important to the Stewart family. You can't catch a cold." Braden's voice was full of alienation. Looking at the interaction between the two, Shirley felt upset in her heart. "Mr. Stewart, can you give me an explanation?" Braden looked at Shirley, and his handsome face was calm. "You don't need to know." Shirley thought everything was ridiculous. She always thought that Braden disdained to mess with other women. However, he had a mistress, and they also had a child. Shirley suddenly became sober, and the sadness in her heart disappeared. "So, you are cheating in marriage." Before Braden could speak, Amelie stood between the two with tears in her eyes. "Miss Wilson, it's all my fault. Was this woman pretending to be pitiful? Really?" Shirley raised her arms high, as if to slap Amelie. Amelie hid behind Braden. "Isn't it your fault? Why are you hiding?" Shirley flicked her hair and said with a smile, "Life is not drama, and I won't hit you. If you really love each other, I will help you." "What?" Amelie was stunned, and she didn't know what to do. It seemed that the rumors were true. Braden and Shirley were contract couples. They didn't love each other at all. Otherwise, how could Shirley be so magnanimous against the mistress? Shirley said, "Since it is an affair within marriage, I think we should renegotiate the division of property in our divorce agreement." When Amelie heard that Shirley wanted to fight for property, she was anxious and said in an excited tone, "Braden has given you $80 million and a house. He is generous enough. Besides, in the past few years, the Stewart family has spent a lot of money in order to clean up the mess for the Wilson family. You can't be too greedy." Shirley laughed and said, "We just got divorced, but you're afraid that I'll get his money." "Who is greedy?" Amelie seemed to have been slapped in the face, her face flushed and then turned pale. "I didn't mean that." Braden didn't have many expressions on his face. He stared at Shirley and said coldly, "Continue." Shirley expressed her appeal in a straightforward manner. "I don't want the $80 million, and I don't want the house. You have a law office called Blasso Law Office under your name. Transfer it to me." "Blasso Law Office?" Braden frowned slightly. As the head of the 8 major families in Seattle City, the Stewart family had a lot of properties under their name, and he was not very impressed with the law office. However, he remembered that there seemed to be such a law office dedicated to dealing with the legal affairs of the Stewart family. The people there were idlers, so it was worthless. This woman didn't want $80 million but wanted something that didn't make money. What was she thinking? He looked at Shirley. After a few days, she seemed to have changed a lot. "I only have this request. After the divorce agreement is revised, I'll get it for you to sign. By the way, I wish you have a son soon." Shirley raised her chin, and her face was full of joy as if she had just got a big deal. Unfortunately, the next second, her head was dizzy and heavy. When she turned around, her eyes went dark, and she fell heavily. Chapter 3. "I only love you." Shirley thought that she was going to fall to the ground. In the next second, her waist was embraced by the man. With a mint, like breath poured into her nostrils, she was fascinated. "You're so hot. Do you have a fever?" As Braden looked down at the woman in his arms, there was concern on his usually cold face. She was thin, which aroused his desire to protect her. "None of your business." Shirley, who had stabilized her center of gravity, gritted her teeth and tried to break free from his arms. Since they divorced, she had to leave resolutely. She didn't want to be weak and made him feel that she was pitiful. However, Shirley's body was limp, and she had no strength at all. Braden hugged her. "I'll take you to the hospital. What are you doing?" "Let me go." Shirley was uncomfortable and embarrassed, and she kept struggling. "We're divorced. During the cooling, off period, you are still my wife." His voice was determined and didn't give Shirley any chance to refuse. Seeing that they were about to leave, Amelie was anxious. This was not what she wanted. She supported her waist and shouted from behind, pretending to be delicate. "Brayden, wait for me. It's not convenient for me to walk with a big belly. Stay there. I will let Liam pick you up." After Brayden finished speaking, he looked at Shirley in his arms and said in a deep voice, "She is sick. I can't leave her alone." Shirley rolled her eyes. He had a pregnant mistress and forced Shirley to divorce, but now he pretended to love her? He and Amelie were really a perfect match. Shirley would play with them. She stopped struggling but hugged Brayden's neck and blinked her eyes. "Thank you, my ex-husband." Brayden's face turned dark all of a sudden. Amelie was angry. When they arrived at the hospital, Brayden accompanied Shirley to do a blood test. The test results came out soon. Virus infection concurrent with a bacterial infection. If you bring her later, she will probably die. After reading the examination report, the doctor pushed his glasses and said, "Your wife is ill like this, but you still let her wear so little clothes." Brayden was about to explain, but Shirley was one step ahead of him and said, "Doctor, don't scold my husband. After I married him, I didn't live a good life. He cheated on me and forced me to divorce, but I don't blame him. He is handsome, and I did it voluntarily." Brayden was stunned. What was this woman doing? Why was she completely different from before? The doctor was shocked. Looking at Brayden and Shirley, he sighed again and again. "After taking this bottle of 4 and taking medicine, she will be fine." The doctor quickly left. In the ward, only Brayden and Shirley were left, and the atmosphere suddenly became subtle. During the 4 years of marriage, they rarely stayed together. Brayden put his hands in his pockets and looked at Shirley. "Stop playing." Shirley coughed in embarrassment. Yet, she was afraid that he would kill her. "You had a fever. Why didn't you call me?" The woman's face was red, looking pitiful, which made him feel a little distressed. "Since you want to get divorced, it doesn't make much sense to reschedule." The high fever made Shirley weak. She was nostalgic for Brayden's gentleness, but she knew that she could not indulge in it. "Thank you. I'm fine. You can go, your lover is waiting for you." These words seemed to wake up Brayden a bit. "All right then, I'll go." A tall and slender figure walked into the ward. "Shirley, why are you in the..." Ewan's voice stopped abruptly when he found that Brayden was still in the ward. He was looking at Brayden. Brayden was also looking at him. The atmosphere suddenly became weird. "You know each other?" Brayden looked at Shirley and asked in a cold voice. Ewan was a well-known wealthy man, and Shirley was Brayden's wife who kept her duty. They were not from the same world at all. Why did they know each other? Well, Shirley put her hands on her forehead in embarrassment. She sent a message asking Ewan to come to the hospital, but she didn't expect he would come so soon. Now that her ex-husband and a handsome man bumped into each other, it was embarrassing. "She is my idol." Holding a bouquet of sunflowers, Ewan walked towards Shirley enthusiastically and said to Brayden with a smile, "You didn't know. Back then, Shirley was a famous figure in our school, and many people were chasing her. I am the most loyal one among her countless admirers. Today is the day for her to file for divorce. I must be the first to congratulate her, right?" After Ewan finished speaking, he solemnly and affectionately handed the bouquet to Shirley. "Shirley, this is for you. I remember that it is your favorite flower. The language of the flower is turning against the wind, right? I don't think there is any flower that suits you better." Shirley liked sunflowers. However, the flower language was "I only love you." Just like her love for Brayden. When she saw him for the first time, she fell in love with him. Now, it was time to end. She couldn't only love him for the rest of her life, right? Shirley gladly accepted the bouquet. She put it in front of her nose and smelled it. "This is the first time I have received flowers in the 4 years since I got married. It is fragrant. I will give it to you every day from now on." Brayden's handsome face was cold, and the air in the room seemed to drop a few degrees. Ewan looked at the silent Braden and teased. "Mr. Stewart, I sincerely thank you for giving Shirley freedom. From now on, there will be another legend in Seedal City." Braden ignored Ewan. Evan was Steve Parker's pampered son, and he didn't need to take him seriously. The sunflowers reflected Shirley's delicate face in a particularly charming way. Braden was a little dazed and said softly, "I don't know that you like sunflowers." Shirley sneered. "There are many things you don't know," she instructed Ewan. "Evan, put the flowers in the vase." "Okay." Ewan was busy. Braden became restless. What was the relationship between these two? Evan had always been known for his rebelliousness. Why was he so humble in front of Shirley? "Mr. Stewart, is there anything else?" Shirley looked at Braden politely with a smile. Her implication was, "Why didn't you leave?" Braden's face became darker, and he said, "During the cooling, off period, you are still a married woman, so be careful." "I know. I'm not like you." Braden was mad at Shirley. But he didn't refute, and left coldly. As soon as he left, Ewan started laughing. "Shirley, did you see? His face is so ugly. I've seen him on countless occasions in the past 4 years, but this is the first time I've seen him with a different expression on his cold face. It's so funny. Shirley, you are awesome." Shirley didn't feel happy but felt upset. Braden was the man she had loved for 4 years. She never thought that one day they would become like this. "Stop laughing. Give the thing to me," Shirley said to Ewan. Chapter 4. "I've prepared it." Ewan solemnly handed over a thick stack of documents to Shirley. Shirley took over the documents. Although she was uncomfortable because of the high fever, she browsed through them. Soon, a satisfied smile appeared on her delicate face. "These lawyers are indeed not ordinary. They are much more valuable than 80 million in a house. They work for Braden. Why are they not ordinary?" Crossing his legs, Evan leaned lazily on the bed rail and said sourly, "I know some lawyers who are stronger than them. I can introduce them to you right away." "No, I want them." Shirley closed the document. She was in a very good mood and seemed not to be affected by the divorce at all. "Shirley, are you planning something?" Ewan became interested. It had been 4 years. Shirley finally started to work again, and Evan was so happy. "Tell me." Shirley had a meaningful smile. "You'll know soon." Ewan knew Shirley's personality well, so he didn't ask much. If he asked too much, Shirley would block him again. But, Ewan stood up straight and cautiously said, "Can you really let go of that man?" He knew better than anyone else that Shirley loved Braden very much. How could she let go so easily? "So what?" Shirley was depressed, and she said, "I'm tired of being Braden's wife. Now I just want to be Shirley. In the Stewart family." Kenny Stewart and Tracy Stewart showed completely different expressions when they saw Amelie with a big belly. Tracy was very happy, and she excitedly said, "Great, you are pregnant with the child of the Stewart family. Since my eldest son passed away 3 months ago, I have been crying every day and night. I didn't want to live, this child must have been sent to save me. You must take good care of it and give birth to the child safely." Kenny frowned, and he looked at Braden angrily. "What are you doing? You and Shirley haven't divorced, but you made another woman pregnant. What will you do with Shirley? You can't be ungrateful. If it wasn't for Shirley's grandfather, who saved your grandfather back then, our family would have been destroyed. 4 years ago, your grandfather and I promised Shirley's grandfather that we would take good care of Shirley. Now how can I explain to your grandfather and Shirley's grandfather?" Kenny got angry, and he wanted to slap Braden. "I will beat you." Amelie hurriedly stood between Braden and Kenny and said, "Mr. Stewart, don't be angry. It's all my fault. I shouldn't be pregnant with this child. If you feel troubled, I'll have an abortion. Tomorrow. No, this is the child of the Stewart family. You have to give birth to it. Tracy protected Amelie behind her, and shouted at Kenny, "Why are you protecting Shirley so much? If she has feelings for Brayden, they would have had children long ago. She is a girl without anything. She has made no contribution to the Stewart family. We have protected her for 4 years, and it is enough. Brayden can decide who he wants to stay with." After Tracy finished speaking, she looked at Brayden, who had been silent all the time, and asked, "Tell me, what's your plan?" Brayden was tall and slender, with an aura of alienation, as if he had nothing to do with this quarrel. His eyes fell on Amelie's belly, and he said in a serious manner, "As you can see, Amelie has been pregnant for more than 3 months. This child is from the Stewart family and needs a decent identity. I have filed for divorce with Shirley. After we divorce, I will marry Amelie." When he finished speaking, Tracy and Amelie breathed a sigh of relief at the same time. Kenny was furious. "You can play with women outside, but you kicked your wife to marry the mistress. Are you out of your mind? If Shirley's grandfather finds out, he will be angry. He used to be a famous general. Are you not afraid of him?" Tracy crossed her arms and rolled her eyes in disdain. "He was so powerful, but the Wilson family is ruined. If we didn't protect his only granddaughter these few years, the Wilson family would have been extinct. The Wilson family has many enemies, and we married Shirley under pressure. It is enough, right? Besides, it was the old man's decision. The marriage will only last for 4 years. After 4 years, if they don't love each other, they will divorce. Brayden isn't wrong." The two were about to quarrel, and Brayden frowned and said in a cold voice, "I've finished what I need to say. If you want to quarrel, you can change to another place." Kenny sighed and said, "You have always been arrogant and domineering, and no one can change what you decide, except your elder brother. If he is still alive, he may be able to persuade you." The atmosphere suddenly became heavy and sad. 3 months ago, Charles Stewart's accidental death brought a devastating blow to the Stewart family, and made Brayden even more indifferent. "If you want to marry this woman, I have nothing to do with you. But you must promise me one thing, or I will sever the father-son relationship with you." "What?" Brayden looked at his father. His handsome face was always cold, which made people hard to figure out what he was thinking. "You must hide it from your grandfather. He is going to have a heart transplant soon, and he can't stand this. You know that he has always been caring about Shirley, and treats her as his own granddaughter. If he knew that you divorced Shirley because of a mistress, he would be angry." Brayden nodded. "I will handle it." Kenny and Tracy left the villa. Before leaving, Tracy pulled Amelie and told her to take care of the baby, as if she treated Amelie as her daughter-in-law. Kenny felt sorry for Shirley, and he didn't care about Amelie from the beginning to the end. The whole night, Amelie felt like she was on a roller coaster, and her mood fluctuated up and down. However, no matter what attitude Kenny and Tracy had towards her, she only cared about Brayden's attitude. Brayden was the authority of the Stewart family, and even the Seattle City. Brayden stood by the window on the second floor, staring at the sunflowers in the back garden in a daze. He didn't come to the villa very often, and he didn't know that so many sunflowers bloomed in the garden. It was quite beautiful. He just found out that the sunflower was Shirley's favorite flower. Turning against the wind? "Shirley, are you going to make a comeback, Brayden?" Amelie walked up to Brayden, wiped away her tears, and said, "I'm sorry, my child, and I have caused you trouble." "Forget it." Brayden turned around, and there was sadness in his eyes. He said in a deep voice, "No, this is my brother's only last wish." Chapter 5. Being a widow for 4 years, if time could be turned back, Brayden hoped to gamble his whole life and go back to that night 3 months ago. That night, he and his brother were walking on Newchark Street, discussing the future development direction of the Stewart family. But they met a sudden attack. His brother used his body to block the bullet that should have hit him. Before he died, his brother said that he had a girlfriend whom he loved very much, named Amelie. Amelie was just pregnant with his child. "Marry Amelie, live on for me. Give Amelie and my child a complete family. Brayden would never forget the desperate look of his brother when he held him with bloody hands and pleaded with him. If time could be turned back, Brayden would push away his brother, who stood in front of him. He would rather bear this death by himself. You offended your father and hurt Miss Wilson for the sake of the child and me. I wrestle with a conscience. Seriously. Forget it. I can live a good life with a child by myself. Although it is very difficult for an unmarried woman who has a child, I can bear it for Charles's later generations. Amelie continued to cry. She didn't believe that Brayden could remain indifferent to her trick. Brayden was stern. He kept a distance from Amelie quietly. My father just doesn't know the actual situation, so he has a prejudice against you. Don't mind it. As for Shirley, Brayden paused, and said coldly, I have no relationship with her. I haven't even slept with her for 4 years. Even without you, I would divorce her. What about Miss Wilson? She must love you very much. After all, you are so handsome and outstanding. Amelie's voice was seductive. She looked at Brayden infatuatedly. As a gold digger, she was with the honest man Charles just for fun. After all, that guy was a very sea-boring simp. Seeing Brayden, she understood what love at first sight was. She decided to focus on Brayden. Shirley was the biggest obstacle for her to get close to Brayden. She doesn't love me either. Otherwise, she wouldn't be so active in divorce. Amelie was completely at ease. It seemed that the two were as rumored. They didn't love each other and hated each other. Divorce was only a matter of time. She didn't need to worry too much at all. Miss Wilson is of poor taste. You are so handsome and outstanding, but she doesn't love you. It's a windfall for me to get a treasure. Amelie moved closer to Brayden. Hearing what the woman said, Brayden was inexplicably displeased and tugged on his tie irritably. It's getting late. I'm leaving first. Amelie became anxious. Isn't this your home? Where are you going? Brayden said calmly, I have another place to live in Cedal City. What? Amelie was dumbfounded. She expected that she could live with Brayden and he could love her one day. Was he leaving? No wonder Brayden hadn't slept with Shirley for 4 years. Shirley was too miserable to be a widow for 4 years. It had been 3 days since Shirley was discharged from the hospital. Her body had recovered fairly well. She was moving today. Ewan insisted that her one-bedroom apartment was too shabby, so he arranged another place for her. Don't worry, Shirley. I know you are low-key, so I chose a very low-key place for you. That was what Ewan told her on the phone. When she followed the address and came to the 300 square meters flat facing the river with two households on one floor, she was speechless. It was a luxury house worth hundreds of millions. Was this low-key? Shirley was about to call Ewan to ask him to change places when a call came in. Miss Wilson, hello? This is a call from the hospital. Your inspection report is ready. There is something abnormal. Please come to the hospital right away. Shirley came to the hospital with anxiety. When she saw the inspection report handed over by the nurse, she was dumbfounded. Miss Wilson, from the blood test report, your HCG value and progesterone value are both high, so we can preliminarily conclude that you have been pregnant for more than a month. What the hell? Being pregnant? More than a month? Yes, congratulations. You are going to be a mother. After the nurse left, Shirley was still in a mess. It was absurd. She just made a rushed decision once. How could she get pregnant? Was it because she was too fertile, or was that guy's sperm of good quality? Why did God trick her like this? There was no doubt that the child must belong to the cool Brayden. More than a month ago, when the Stewart family finished handling Charles's funeral, the whole Stewart family was shrouded in sadness. For the first time, Shirley saw Brayden take off his aloof and arrogant disguise, and was as fragile as a child, crying with his face covered, drinking bottle after bottle. She felt sorry for him and cried and drank with him. Then, they went to bed. After 4 years of marriage, they had the closest and deepest relationship as husband and wife that night. Shirley thought that after that night, the relationship between her and Braden could improve. Unexpectedly, there was no improvement. It ended directly. "It's all over," the child who appeared suddenly disrupted her original plan in an instant. "Sure enough, if you sympathize with a man, you will be unlucky forever." Shirley was regretful. She hesitated whether to tell Braden the news of her pregnancy. After all, he was the child's father. Maybe the two of them should decide on whether to keep this child together or not. "Miss Wilson, what a coincidence. Why are you also in the hospital?" Behind her came Amelie's voice. Shirley turned around and saw Amelie supporting her waist, smiling happily. Standing next to Amelie was her prospective ex-husband, Braden. The man was as tall and handsome as ever, with a cool look. His natural dignity made him stand out in the crowd. Shirley paused. Her heart seemed to have been pierced by needles. Her heart slightly ached. These two people were like a perfect match when they stood together, filled with a loving and warm atmosphere. Moreover, Shirley looked at Amelie's belly today, it seemed to be getting bigger. Shirley felt that she was redundant, and so was the child in her belly. "I have a check again. I am leaving now." She smiled, pretending to be rakish and waving at them. She didn't have the courage to tell Braden about her pregnancy. If she told him, it was just a self-inflicted humiliation. It was better to never let him know so that she could retain dignity. The next second, her slender wrist was held by Braden's big palm. "You look bad. What happened?" Shirley met the man's eyes. In the past, she would be immersed in his deep eyes as beautiful as stars. But now, she just found it ridiculous. "Whether I am fine or not doesn't seem to have anything to do with you, my ex-husband-to-be." Braden frowned at her words, and he became angry for no reason. However, the second young master of the Stewart family, who had always been cool, was also strange today. He pestered Shirley shamelessly. "You said that I am your ex-husband, to be but not the ex-husband." Braden looked at the inspection report in Shirley's hand with his sharp eyes and said in his usual strong tone, "What are you checking again? Show me." Chapter 6. The trash she didn't want. Braden looked at her with serious eyes and a firm expression. Holding the checklist in her hand, Shirley hesitated. Amelie seemed to see something and quickly stood between the two of them. She took out her checklist and approached Shirley. "Miss Wilson, look at my baby. It's been more than 3 months. I just had a check of the 4D color ultrasound, and it's already formed. Here's a picture. Look how cute it is. It's happy that I met you today. I must thank you for the baby and me in my belly. If it weren't for your generosity, how could the baby have a complete family, let alone a perfect father like Braden?" This was clearly showing off. Shirley glanced at the picture that Amelie handed over. Sure enough, it was a formed baby with four limbs and a face. But her child was just a germ. Strictly speaking, it was not a life. This gap was more like a wordless ridicule. It was so unnecessary for Braden to mock her and her child. Seeing that Shirley was silent and easily bullied, Amelie continued to say hypocritically, "Miss Wilson, you are the baby's great benefactor. How about this? Give the baby a name, let the baby be grateful to you, and thank you for a lifetime." What? For the first time, Shirley had the urge to kill Amelie. Was she kidding? Amelie grabbed her husband. But now Amelie asked her to name their child and cut her to the quick. How ridiculous. Shirley smiled coldly, and looked at Amelie disdainfully, "Are you sure that you want me to name it?" "Of course, Miss Wilson, if you are willing." Amelie pretended to be very humble. But in fact, she wanted Shirley to be embarrassed in front of Braden. She expected Shirley would not to do that. In this world, no matter how generous and tolerant a woman was, she would not be so generous as to name the child of her husband and mistress. Brayden frowned slightly and looked at Shirley with mixed feelings. He said in a deep voice, "If you find it difficult, you can refuse." Their divorce was already a certainty. But seeing her in such an awkward situation, he wanted to protect her inexplicably. It turned out he was thinking too much. "It's not difficult. It's so easy to give it a name." Shirley didn't seem to feel awkward at all, raised her eyebrows playfully and blurted out, "Pick Stewart. Pick Stewart." Amelie didn't expect Shirley to name the child. She almost couldn't remain calm and asked tentatively, "What's the meaning?" "It means picking up the trash left over by others." "Look, what a nice name." Amelie became angry at her words. She wanted to get mad. But because of Brayden's presence, she could only endure her anger. Shirley continued, "Miss Nelson, you asked me to name it so enthusiastically. Now that I have named it, you should use the name in the future. Otherwise, I will think that you are hypocritical and deliberately showing off." Brayden had a grim look. He stared at Shirley coldly, saying, "Enough, don't go too far." "Which one of us is going too far, my ex, husband, to be?" Shirley met Brayden's persuasive eyes and added, "It should be my ex, husband, to be who is shameless, immoral, and unfaithful to the marriage." Brayden clenched his fists angrily. In the past, he only knew that this woman was boring, like a marionette with no thoughts of her own. But only now did he realize that she was so vigorous with pungent satire and humorous mockery. She was like a little wild cat with its claws on, making people mad. How could she need protection? Seeing this, Amelie immediately put on a rueful look and pulled Brayden's arm. "Brayden, don't be angry with Miss Wilson. It's my fault. It's the baby's fault. Miss Wilson loves you so much but was forced to help us. It's normal for her to have grievances with me and the baby, just let her vent, you are wrong again." Shirley snorted and said, "You and your baby don't need to thank me. I have made it very clear just now. I am not helping you but throwing a piece of immoral trash, which happened to be picked up by you. So the name, Pick Stewart, is very suitable." Immediately afterward, she looked at Brayden and said with a smile, "Usually immoral men are going to be in bad luck. Mr. Stewart. Let me guess. You will be in bad luck recently." Brayden was speechless. Brayden looked solemn with rage. "My mother told me since I was young. Don't get close to unlucky people, or I will become unlucky. So you two just get together. I respect and bless you, bye." Her words with heavy irony made Brayden angrier. After all, in Seattle City, Brayden represented absolute authority. No one dared to annoy him. So, before being beaten to death by Brayden, Shirley quickly slipped away. Anyway, she was happy when she dissed them. It would be good if that scum man and hypocritical woman got extremely angry. After Shirley left, Amelie secretly looked at Brayden. According to a man's temper, he would not let Shirley go easily if he was dissed like this. But she saw him smiling. "Brayden, calm down. Miss Wilson is probably too angry, so she can't hold back her words. It's my fault. It's my baby's fault. You can blame me." "Don't blame Miss Wilson," Amelie said a lot hypocritically. Brayden didn't listen to her words. He felt that she was noisy. His eyes followed the direction where Shirley left until she disappeared completely. His ex-wife, too, B was interesting. After leaving the hospital, Shirley was in a bad mood. She felt anger and also sadness. She was angry because of that scum man and hypocritical woman. Trincha, she was sad because of the little life in her belly. There was a small embryo in her belly that was slowly growing up. It was supposed to have a brilliant life journey. But now because of its scum father, its brilliant life was ruined. Shirley was angry and hated Brayden. She took a deep breath, calmed down, and took out her computer. Her long fingers quickly tapped on the keyboard. A long series of complex codes like Morse code was generated. In less than 10 minutes, an intrusive virus program was completed. After Shirley pressed the run button, she smiled in satisfaction. Half an hour later, Stewart Group's business system crashed. A large amount of customer information was leaked. Braden was still in the hospital. When he received a call, he got angry. Virus invasion? Who did it? Shirley held the coffee and looked at the sparkling river outside the floor, two, ceiling windows, finally feeling a little better. She said that Braden would be in bad luck. She was serious. This virus program was enough for Stewart Group to suffer for half a month. Chapter 7. Stewart Group inside the towering buildings, there was suffocating pressure. Who did it? It's been 2 days. Why don't you have a clue? Are all the people in the technical department fools with an annual salary of several million dollars this year? Our customer information is still leaking. If we don't fix the bug, Stewart Group will be a joke in Seattle City. You will all be fired. Liam's roaring voice almost knocked down the 100-meter-high building. As Braden's most trusted assistant, he handled the company's affairs. Since Stewart Group's business system was attacked by an inexplicable virus program 2 days ago, he and nearly 100 people in the technical department hadn't rested for 2 days and two nights. Mr. Liam, to be honest, it's not that we are too useless, but that the hacker is too powerful. The hacker's IP address is dynamic all over the world. We have no way of tracking the hacker. Peyton Lloyd, the manager of the technical department, swallowed and continued to talk. You also know that Stewart Group's technical department has gathered all the IT experts in Seattle City. If we can't handle it, then no one can handle it. At this time, a weak voice came from the corner. There is a way. Everyone followed the sound and saw it was a young man wearing black, rimmed glasses speaking. What way? Hurry up and say it. Liam urged impatiently. The young man pushed his black, rimmed glasses and said in a low voice, the way is to do nothing and wait for another 3 days. The invasive program will be cancelled automatically. You. What did you say? Liam felt that he was tricked. So he rolled up his sleeves and prepared to beat up the weirdos in the technical department. Go ahead. Braden's deep and cool voice came from the center of the conference room. His slender fingers were turning a signature pen. Different from Liam's frantic look, he looked careless with a sense of great oppression. Where he was present, no one dared to breathe a sigh of relief. The young man said cautiously, according to my analysis, this string of codes is very similar to the style of my idol, also the giant of the hacker world, Fire Dance. Half of the people's eyes lit up in the technical department. Everyone was so excited that they started discussing. Giant Fire Dance is amazing. No one can crack the program he created. The more the program is attacked, the more bugs will be. But his program also has a characteristic, that is, it only runs for 5 days. After 5 days, it will automatically lapse. There are many legends about Fire Dance. Some say that he is a genius boy, and some say that he is already in his 50s or 60s. In short, no one has seen his true face. However, Fire Dance has disappeared for many years. How could he suddenly appear and focus on Stewart Group? Isn't Stewart Group too unlucky? Unlucky? Braden suddenly remembered what Shirley had said in the hospital that day. Tisk, was she a prophet? She was right. According to preliminary estimates, Stewart Group's loss this time was at least around $600 million. How unlucky he was. Fire Dance. Braden frowned, studying the name. Suddenly, his desire to win was provoked. His eyes narrowed and he said coldly, Liam, send a message and offer a reward of $2 billion to find out this person named Fire Dance. Kirku. In the crowded food stall, Shirley sneezed several times in succession. Her ears were still hot. How strange. I've recovered from my cold. Why do I keep sneezing? Shirley sniffed, wondering if she should take more medicine. Why? It must be someone who talks about you every day. Nancy Parker held the Seattle newspaper in front of Shirley, gloating, and said, Girl, you are in trouble. Your cool ex-husband, 2, B is offering a reward of $2 billion to catch you. As Yuan's fraternal twin sister, she and Shirley had a life and death friendship. However, unlike Simp Yuan admiring Shirley, she was more like Shirley's sincere friend. As long as the two of them got together, they would inevitably bicker and laugh, having a pleasant time. Shirley glanced at the content of the newspaper, smiled coldly, and said disdainfully, "It's useless for him to bluff. Why didn't he think about how to fix the bugs? After so many years, Stewart Group's internal system is still so weak. It's easily broken as I attack it. Shirley, you are so confident." Nancy couldn't help giving Shirley a thumbs up, and immediately said, "However, you should be confident because you are the legendary giant of the hacker world, the famous giant fire dance." Braden was cool and stupid, although he has a handsome face. He abandoned a good wife like you, cheated on his marriage and even got the woman pregnant. He's a scum. Look, you've helped him a lot over the years. If you hadn't quietly helped intercept the attack on the rubbish system of the Stewart Group, it would have been broken down several times. He is so ungrateful. He deserves it this time." Nancy used to be a big fan of a couple of Braden and Shirley. She hoped that Braden and Shirley could fall in love after marriage. However, they didn't fall in love. Braden got a mistress and a bastard. She wouldn't be a big fan of a couple of Braden and Shirley anymore. Shit. She was even angrier than Shirley. She wished to rush into the Stewart Group and beat up that scum. At this time, the waiter served them the kebabs and boiled beer. Nancy picked up the beer and started drinking it, just like drinking water. Shirley looked at the tantalizing kebabs and beer but sat still without taking any action. "What's up, Shirley? Why are you sitting still? Try the beer. You're going to get divorced soon. Freedom is beckoning to you. Let's drink our fill tonight." Shirley bit her lip and said to the waiter, "Bring me a bottle of soy milk and a bowl of pumpkin porridge." Puff. Nancy was shocked and looked at Shirley with a confused face. "What's up? You are going to get divorced. Do you still want to pretend to be a well-behaved and dignified wealthy young lady, dare not drink alcohol or eat kebabs? It's not suitable today." Shirley avoided the important and casually explained. She didn't plan to tell Nancy about her pregnancy. To be precise, she didn't plan to tell anyone. Because last night, she had already made an appointment in a private hospital. She was going to have a curettage operation in the morning the day after tomorrow to remove the child. But she didn't know what was wrong with her. She had already made up her mind not to keep this child. Why did she still care that drinking and eating kebabs would affect the development of her baby? "I see. You are in period." Nancy nodded, and poured Shirley a glass of warm water considerately. "It's okay. Drink more hot water. I'll just drink the wine." "Thank you, Nancy." Shirley took the warm water. She felt warm. The most correct thing she had done these years was probably to save the brother and sister, Yuan and Nancy. Now, they had become the people she trusted the most. They were not relatives biologically but like families. "Hey, isn't this the elegant and dignified Mrs. Stewart of the Stewart family who never walks out the door?" An arrogant voice with sarcasm came from behind them. Chapter 8. A miserable cry. David stuck a toothpick between his lips. He led five hooligans behind him and walked up to Shirley aggressively. "Back then, your parents owed me money. They went to the police station to sue me for illegal transactions. I paid tens of millions of dollars and was detained for 15 days. When I came out to take revenge, I got the news that those two cowards both jumped off the building and died. Damn it. You're the only child of them in this world. I bumped into you today. Tell me, how long will you kowtow and beg me to calm me down?" Nancy stood up immediately, and yelled at David angrily, "Kowtow? Are you kidding? Do you want hell banknotes? If you want, I will immediately burn you tens of billions of hell banknotes. You can spend it slowly." David was so angry that he pointed at Nancy's nose and scolded, "Bitch, who are you? This is a personal grudge between her and me. If you don't want to die, get away. I am the one to give you a lesson. Nancy stood between Shirley and David. She said meaningfully, Hey, I advise you to get out of the way. Don't annoy Shirley. Otherwise, you won't even have time to cry. Hearing these words, David and his men were taken aback for a moment. Then they all held their stomachs and burst out laughing. Ha ha, cry. Bitch, you don't know that this unlucky woman has already been kicked out by the Stewart family. Without the support of the Stewart family, she is nothing. I can do whatever to her. In the past few years, David had always wanted to seek revenge on Shirley. But Shirley married Brayden, the most powerful person in Seattle City, he could only hold back his anger. 2 days ago, he accidentally learned that Shirley had been kicked by Brayden and the mistress came to force Shirley. So he knew that his chance of revenge had come. Well, God bless. Today you and I met. If you have money, you can pay for me. If you don't have money, you can pay with your body for me. David stared at Shirley's fair face, almost drooling. He couldn't help but want to touch her face. It was a windfall for him to flirt with the woman who used to belong to Brayden. Shirley dodged slightly sideways, calmly sipped the warm water in the cup, and said with a smile, It's okay to pay with my body. Are you sure you can bear it? David was elated when he heard that. He said with a wretched smile, I'm in good health. It's no problem for me to handle 10 of you. Shirley put down the cup and raised her beautiful eyes. She stared straight at David and said charmingly, Well, there is a grove nearby. Let's go there. So, the two walked towards the grove in the nearby park. Hooligans following David were stunned and envious. Only Nancy covered her forehead with a worried expression. After hesitating, again and again, she shouted behind the two of them, Well, control yourself. David laughed. As if the groom was pulling the bride into the bridal chamber, he groaned and said, Don't worry, I know to control myself. I have to keep her for future use. I can't bear to hurt her. Nancy was silent and looked sympathetically at David. He was too unlucky. Why did he offend Shirley, who was just divorced? Tisk. Whether he could live depended on whether his fat body was strong and whether he could bear it. A few minutes later, there was a miserable cry from the grove. Ah! 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 No, please forgive me. Please forgive me. However, this voice did not come from Shirley, but from David. What? What's going on? David's men looked at each other in blank dismay. About 5 minutes later, Shirley came out of the grove unharmed and shook her fist expressionlessly. She was so decent that not even a strand of her hair was messed up. Solved? Nancy asked. Well, I haven't practiced for several years and I am a little unskilled. I took 2 seconds longer. Shirley, don't be humble. Although it takes 2 seconds longer, the lethality is 10 times stronger. That guy's voice is so miserable. Is he still alive? Yes. He is almost dying. Then Shirley looked coldly at those hooligans. If you don't want him to die, send him to the hospital quickly. Although those hooligans couldn't figure out the situation, they sensed something unusual from David's miserable cry, and immediately ran away. Nancy was not surprised at all. Back then, she and her brother were kidnapped. Kidnappers were about to harm them. It was Shirley who fought with a dozen kidnappers and rescued them alive. At that time, they had seen Shirley's amazing skills. They also knew her mysterious and awesome identities, although she was dignified and well, behaved superficially. From the beginning, they were shocked. Gradually, they became accustomed to it. Now, they were already numb. Shirley was the only granddaughter of old Mr. Wilson. How could she be weak? It was a pity that the Stewart family didn't find any abnormalities in the whole 4 years. Everyone was blind. Shirley, just now I was worried that you would be bullied if you got divorced. After all, you have been pretending to be a submissive wife for years. I almost thought you were a real submissive woman, and now I know I'm worrying too much. No one can bully you. They can only bow down to you. Now I can rest assured. Nancy bumped her cup into Shirley's cup and said, "Cheers. A toast for freedom." Shirley smiled gently, "A toast for freedom." Yes, from now on, she had nothing to do with the Stewart family. She no longer had to pretend to be a dignified Mrs. Stewart. She didn't have to think about what kind of girl Braden liked. From now on, she only lived for herself. How free! The next day, Shirley came to the reserved private hospital early. In addition to its superb technology, this hospital also had a particularly good feature. It could keep patient information confidential. In other words, as long as she was determined to get rid of the little guy in her belly today, no one in the world would know that she was pregnant, which meant that the little life in her belly never existed. The operation was about to begin. But Shirley became more and more nervous. Her delicate and pretty face was tensed. "Come on, Shirley, this is just a small episode. After handling it, everything will be back on track." She kept cheering herself up. "Shirley." In the consultation room, the doctor called Shirley. "Yes." Shirley took a deep breath and walked in. "I've read all your preoperative reports. There are no contraindications. If you want to have surgery, you can do it right away." Holding the report, the doctor asked with a slightly indifferent expression, "Have you thought it through? You don't want it?" "Yes." "Okay, follow our nurse to change clothes first. Go to the operating room and lie down." The doctor paused for 2 seconds, and said again, "It's a pity. Have you read your checklist? Do you know that your baby is a bit special?" Chapter 9. "I can't protect you anymore. What's special?" Shirley looked at the doctor in bewilderment. "The baby you're pregnant with looks like twins from the HCG value, and it's likely to be a pigeon pair." The doctor let out a long sigh and said in a regretful tone, "Do you know that in the case of natural pregnancy without genetics, the probability of twins is 5 per thousand, and the probability of a pigeon pair is 1 10,000th? The pigeon pair you have is 1 in a million and comes to this world. Are you sure you don't want them?" "A pigeon pair." Shirley's eyes fell on the checklist. Her already complicated mood became even more complicated at this moment. "Also, your physique is not suitable for pregnancy. If this pigeon pair is lost, it will be difficult to conceive again. I advise you to think carefully." The doctor pushed the mask and shouted to the door, "The next one." The nurse walked towards Shirley and said in a procedural tone, "If you are sure to do it, come with me to change clothes." It was after a long time. The red light in the operating room remained on. Shirley was wearing a surgical gown, lying on the operating table with a blank expression. It was cold at night. After Shirley came back from the hospital, she went to the food stall where he and Nancy came yesterday. She was restless and wanted to get drunk. But what she said was still the same sentence, of soy milk and a bowl of pumpkin porridge. In the end, she was not willing to have an abortion. A bottle originally, one child was enough to make her under pressure. But now there were two, she couldn't be so cruel. So, before the surgical instruments entered her body, she stumbled off the operating table and fled. "You and you maed, you two little fools, did you desert when you were choosing your daddy and mommy? This cup is a toast for you who are doomed to live without fatherly love." Shirley decided to secretly give birth to the children. She was not afraid of bearing suffering but felt sad for the two children. She substituted soy milk for wine and drank it all with her head raised. At this time, a few men came out and rushed to Shirley with a murderous look. "Mr. Tony, look. It's this bitch who almost beat David to death yesterday." Shirley glanced at them calmly and found that the person who spoke was one of the hooligans last night. Obviously, the gang was out for revenge. Just her. Muscled Tony was a notorious bully around here. He never expected that it would be such a weak woman who beat his right hand, David, into the ICU. "It's me." Shirley put down her glass and looked up at the men surrounding her. She said coldly, "You guys are blocking my sight. If you don't get lost, you will end up worse than that wretched man. Well, little woman, you are too confident. Tony shook his face. His eyes were fierce. He grabbed Shirley by the collar, saying, I'm here today to teach you what rules are. Well. She raised her eyebrows, thinking that she could vent her anger to Tony who came to her. Thank God. Her fingers were crossed and her knuckles were clicking. She was getting ready to attack. In the next second, Tony screamed. His whole person was thrown out in a parabola. A tall figure, like a protective wall, firmly protected Shirley behind him. Who else touched her just now? Step forward. In Brayden's deep voice, there was a terrifying chill. Shirley looked at the man's straight and strong back, confused. How could this guy appear right here? He secretly followed her, right? Shocked by Brayden's inherently powerful aura, more than a dozen gangsters put on a posture of fighting and said tremblingly, You. Who are you? Don't meddle in our business if you don't want to die. It doesn't matter who I am. The important thing is that you should pay the price if you annoy someone who shouldn't be annoyed. Brayden was not angry but arrogant. Here comes another one who is not afraid of death. Tony got up from the ground and rubbed his injured buttocks. He gritted his teeth and said, Don't you know my status in this area? Are you both seeking death? Guys, stop standing still. Come on. As soon as Tony's words fell, more than a dozen gangsters threw out the steel pipe. They rushed towards Brayden and Shirley fiercely. The diners around were so frightened that they protected their heads and fled in all directions. Brayden guarded Shirley behind him very vigilantly and tugged on his tie casually. At the same time, she slightly turned sideways and said, Don't be afraid, close your eyes. I will solve it soon. While speaking, he kicked a gangster far away who was trying to sneak up on them. Great. Shirley pretended to be innocent and hid obediently behind the man. Unexpectedly, a man who looked cool and noble was so skilled in fighting. He could be regarded as one of the best masters in the fighting circle. However, it was not surprising. After all, the Stewart family was the head of the 8 major families in Seattle City. As the distinguished young master of the Stewart family, Brayden must have been trained in all aspects since he was a child. He was naturally proficient in equestrian, chess, fighting and so on. Ah! Spare me, please! Please! After a while, more than a dozen gangsters were all beaten to the ground. They were all crying and begging. Remember today's lesson and stay away from her in the future. Brayden patted the dust on the high and suit lightly and warned everyone who had fallen to the ground with a stern face. Shitley crossed her arms and watched the whole process coldly as if it was a show. If it was in the past, she would be so fascinated by the man's handsome figure. She would be so moved that she burst into tears. But at this moment, there was no disturbance in her heart. She even wanted to laugh. For 4 whole years, he had ignored her and treated her like a stranger. Now, when they were about to get divorced, he came to play the role of a hero saving the beauty instead. Was there something wrong with him? Suddenly, Tony picked up a beer bottle and attacked Brayden from behind with red eyes. Damn it! I'm going to fight you and kill you. Be careful. Behind you! Shirley reminded nervously. But it was too late. The bottle hit Brayden's head directly. Blood dripped down his thick black hair. Brayden frowned in pain and touched the wound with his long fingers. His palms were immediately wet with blood. Damn it! Looking at the blood dripping from his palm, Brayden felt very uncomfortable in his stomach. His tall figure staggered a little. Shirley keenly noticed the unusualness of the man. After hesitating for a moment, she stepped forward to support him. Brayden, are you okay? No. The man's perfect carved face was pale. At this moment, he no longer had the previous energy, showing a painful and weak look. I can't protect you anymore, run. Seriously? You are too weak. Shirley was confused and complained quietly. He was just hit on the head by a wine bottle. How could he be so delicate? When he was 1 against 10 just now, he was so brave. I faint at the sight of blood. After Braden finished saying this, he immediately fainted in Shirley's arms. Chapter 10. They are not worth it. When Braden woke up, he found himself lying on a hospital bed with gauze wrapped around his head. Shirley had stayed by his hospital bed, now seeing him open his eyes, she finally stopped frowning, but her tone was still cold. "All right, it looks like I can finally leave." She worried about him but didn't want to let him know. But he suddenly gripped her wrist firmly. "Are you all right? Did they do anything to you?" Braden was still weak, but his attractive eyes were still sharp and deep. He looked carefully at Shirley, who got up and was about to leave. Shirley sneered, "Mr. Stewart, thank you for your concern, but I can take care of myself, and you shall worry more about yourself." She had loved this man for 4 years. She dreamed of getting his concern before, and only a few words would be enough. However, she didn't need that anymore. Braden was thinking about what had happened before and didn't notice Shirley's unusual indifference. "Those people are really tough to deal with. How did you escape?" Well, Shirley didn't know how to answer for a while. She couldn't tell him she could escape because she beat them up, and they knelt to beg her for mercy. "It's not a hard question." Braden looked into the woman's eyes and noticed something unusual. She shouldn't need so much time to answer that question. Shirley felt Braden had seen through her, but she retained her composure and said calmly, "I told them you are Mr. Stewart, so they didn't dare to hurt me. After they heard that you are the future leader of the most powerful family in Seattle City, the Stewart family, they immediately knelt in fright and begged for mercy, and then I sent you to the hospital. This was really a good excuse. No one dared to offend the Stewart family in the entire Seattle City." So Braden didn't doubt her words. He looked at the thin and weak woman, imagining the scene of her being surrounded and bullied by those gangsters in the food stall, and he got mixed feelings. "If they were afraid of my identity, why didn't you say it in the first place?" "What? If anyone dares to bully you in the future, you don't need to try to reason with him. I believe if you tell them you are the ex-wife of Braden Stewart, they would be more respectful of you." "What?" Shirley looked at the man in shock. How pompous was he to talk like that? "Mr. Stewart, do you know how many children die of hunger yearly in this world? Do you know how much a beggar can get in the door of a hospital for a day? Do you know how many meters the sea level will rise every hour because of global warming?" Shirley's words made Braden confused. He asked, "What does this have to do with me?" "Yeah, so what does it matter to you if I am bullied?" Braden's face turned livid in silence. Shirley stood in front of the bed, staring at the man with a half smile, and said, "Do you know why a man's nose turned red?" "Why?" Braden asked dryly. "Because he pokes his nose into everything." Shirley pushed back a few strands of hair from her cheeks and looked coldly at that man as if he were a stranger. "I hope Mr. Stewart remembers that we are getting divorced in about 20 days. Please don't meddle in others' business. If you are really full of love and want to be nice to others, you can do more charity and earn a good reputation for yourself." Braden was speechless at her words. He clenched his fists. When did her words become so biting? She was sophisticated and sharp and didn't like the sweet and innocent girl she used to be. So long. After that, Shirley turned and left without hesitation. The belated affection was cheap. Moreover, this was not affection but a hypocritical act to get himself peace of mind, and she wouldn't give a shit. Shirley stepped out of the ward's door and bumped into her mother-in-law. "Ah, are you blind?" Tracy rubbed her forehead and cursed angrily. After seeing it was Shirley, she became even more furious. "Why are you Jinx here? I know the only thing you would bring to Braden is trouble." Shirley smiled coldly and said courteously, "Well, I'm really sorry to bother you. Please persist for another 20 days, okay?" "What do you mean?" Tracy raised her head arrogantly and said with disdain, "What could you change in 20 days?" "I couldn't change anything." Shirley continued with a cold, polite smile, "But after 20 days, I will get a divorce from him. At that time, even if your son begs me on his knees, I won't be back to your family, and you won't need to worry about I will bring trouble to Brayden anymore. What did you say? Tracy looked at Shirley in shock. Why did her cowardly and obedient daughter-in-law suddenly change? How dare you talk to me like that? What would I fear? Shirley had long been familiar with Tracy's rude attitude. In the past, because she was Brayden's mother and her mother-in-law, she had always been respectful to her. She didn't need to bear it anymore. I will treat you with your attitude towards me. If you want my respect, you should be worthy of that. How dare you? Tracy was so angry that she raised her hand and wanted to slap Shirley. Brayden suddenly appeared, grabbed Tracy's arm, he said coldly, "Mom, stop." Only then did Tracy notice that the white gauze on her precious son's head was still oozing with blood. She immediately burst into tears with distress. "Brayden, did you fight with someone? You know you will faint at the sight of blood. How could you be so impulsive? Do you want to scare me? Your brother has just gone. If something happens to you, how could I live my life?" Brayden started to feel dizzy again. He could clearly feel that the symptoms this time were more serious than before. He felt nauseated and wanted to vomit. He supported his head, frowned with a painful expression, and said, "Mom, please be quiet." Shirley looked at him and subconsciously tightened her fingers. Did he really get sick? Why didn't she know he would faint at the sight of blood before? "Are you okay? Do you need a doctor?" Tracy was frightened by Brayden and hurriedly said, "Okay, Mom won't talk anymore. I will help you back to bed. Anyway, you're going to divorce. I don't need to sink to her level." Brayden lay back on his bed again, feeling uncomfortable. Tracy tucked him in and babbled, "Why did you so stupid to fight for such a woman? Now you are sick, and that girl didn't even look at you. Did she even say thanks to you? Now I see. The whole Wilson family is ungrateful. Her parents had cheated so many investors of their money, and they deserved to jump off the building and die. How many times did our family help her in the past 4 years? How does she treat me? How dare she be so disrespectful to me?" Shirley used to be grateful to the Stewart family, but Tracy's words awoke her. Did she say she was ungrateful? How could Stewart Group have survived the Asian stock market crash 3 years ago if she didn't be grateful? How could the hacker not attack the Stewart Group last year if she wasn't grateful? There were countless examples like this, but she had been operating in the dark and had never claimed credit. Fine, it looked like they were not worth it. Shirley looked at Brayden and said dryly, "I have sent the revised divorce agreement to your company. If you don't have any more opinions, please sign it in time." "What?" Brayden frowned. Why did these words sound so familiar? Didn't that what he said a few days ago? This woman was really caprice. How could she be so decisive? Why did he feel a loss in his heart? Brayden wanted to ask Shirley. However, the woman turned and left, leaving nothing but a view of a chic and indifferent back. Chapter